go back and go listen to them. Just laying out some foundations, just answering some questions that you've probably asked, and you need to be sharing with people. So praise God. So today we're going to talk about money, worship me or give me. Worship me or give me. So the world says you should worship money, and God's got a whole different attitude. Can you believe that? God has a different attitude than the world. He certainly does. So when I say money, worship me, money, worship me, what do I mean by that? Good question. Glad you asked, all right? First off, how many of you are believers, received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Well, I'm pretty sure you didn't get up this morning and go, oh, I worship you, money, 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 I worship you, right? If not, come talk to me or pay attention and take notes, okay? We don't do that. So what is this worship me, the world that says money, money saying worship me? So I'm glad you asked. Let's give a definition. And about a couple of months ago, we taught on worship. So if I were to give a definition of worshiping God, it would be putting God first in everything. Putting God first overall, right? And you're saying, God, you are my Lord and Savior overall, all right? And the thing about the world and the way they look at money, it's trying to say that. Money is everything. Money is over everything. And, you know, again, you're a believer. You're probably not bound down. I worship money, okay? But money pulls on you all week. Anybody look at your checkbook, go online? Got a little pull going on? Anybody, all of a sudden your car is making that noise and you know, cha-chink, cha-chink, coming down the road, okay? Money pulls on us and it's we have money, we need money, but it can pull us in the wrong way. So we want to talk about money where we're not worshiping it, all right? And, you know, we know people, nobody here, you know, where you put your house before the Lord or you put your car before your Lord or you put your things before the Lord. And God is saying, I don't want you to put those things before me. I want to be first in your life. So here's a Bible story. We've been touching on it for the last 2 weeks, but you can jot down Mark chapter 10. We're not going to put it up on the screen because I'm going to give you the Cashman D version on how to tell the story. Mark chapter 10, verses 17 through 27. You know I love to tell a good story. Praise God. Jot this down. And the reason why I'm going to go over this, because it really talks about how the world says, worship me, versus God says, give to me. All righty? So the story in Matthew chapter 10 is about a young man, and the Bible calls him the rich young ruler. And you know, I kind of chuckled, and I thought, I'm so glad they didn't name him. Would you want to be named your name in the Bible? I just leave it like neutral, the rich young ruler, okay? So we got this rich young ruler, and the Bible says that he came to Jesus, okay? And he came to, and he did the right thing. He runs, it actually says he didn't walk up. He ran up to Jesus and knelt before him. He knelt before him. If I get down, I'm not getting up without some help, Lane. So, all right. So he runs up and he does the right thing. He kneels before Jesus. Now, all of you that are just Bible students, how many times have you read in the Bible where people ran up to Jesus and knelt before him? What usually happened when they knelt before him? They got what they came up for, right? People would come up to Jesus if they needed healing, and they knelt before him, and they got healed. So here's this young man, and he runs up, and he kneels before Jesus. I don't know if he saw everybody do it, but he does this anyway. And he comes up, and he kneels before Jesus, and he says, Jesus. And it's interesting, he calls him teacher. I don't think he was convinced he was Lord yet. So he calls him teacher and he says, teacher, what must I do to receive eternal life? What must I do to receive eternal life? And Jesus says, hey, keep the commandments, like thou shalt not, I wrote them down, so you shouldn't commit adultery, you shouldn't kill, you shouldn't steal, don't swear falsely, don't defraud, and honor your mom and dad. I always like when Jesus throws that in, honor your mom and dad, especially as a parent. So the guy, the rich young ruler, he says, well, you know, Jesus, I have done these things since I was a young guy, and I'm still doing them. And then Jesus goes, okay, good, but I want you to do one more thing. I want you to sell everything you have and give to the poor. All right? Tell your neighbor, sell everything and give to the poor. Come on, tell them. Y'all think, no, you, okay? So Jesus, anyway, and it's real interesting. Before Jesus said that, he said he looked at him, and a lot of translations say he looked at him and loved him. He's looking at him and he loved him. He looked hard at him and loved him and then said, go sell everything and give to the poor. All right. So you know, it's really interesting. I'm looking hard at you and I love you. All right. And God does that. He looks hard at you all the time, and he loves you when you do things good, and he loves you when you don't do things good. He looks hard at you and loves you. He looks hard at you all the time and loves you, and so much so that he sent his only son to die for you. You talk about he loves you. Just close your eyes for a second and go, God, you love me. You love me. You know, some of you, that should be your poster sticky pad for the day, because everything else is screaming, but God, you love me. You love me. And you know, people say crazy things about God. You know, I was talking to Joyce about her daughter passing away, and people said crazy things about God. God took her. He needed another angel in heaven. First off, you don't know your Bible. God's not making no more angels. They're already created. When you go to heaven, you're a saint, all right? And then he doesn't take and kill people early. People say terrible things about God. Everybody put your hand in your heart, but God loves me. Man. Okay, just got over there, all right? So the rich young ruler says, you know, hey, listen, I have kept all these commandments. And Jesus is like, you get a gold star on your paper. Good job. But I want you to sell everything and give to the poor. And the Bible says that the young man was grieved and sad. He was grieved and sad. And you know why? He had many possessions. One translation said he owned a whole lot of land. Woo! All right, he had many possessions and things, and he walked away from Jesus. He just walked away, go, I can't do this, I can't do this, I can't do this, and he walked away from Jesus. Wow, all right, so why? Open up your Bibles now to Matthew chapter 6. I'm going to give you a little bit more. Why did this guy walk away from Jesus and say, I can't handle this, all right? And by the way, Jesus was just trying to adjust him, all right? Because this guy had a wrong concept of possessions and money, and he's trying to help him. So y'all at Matthew chapter 6, it's kind of been our key verse for the last couple of weeks. Matthew 6, here we go. Matthew 6, verse 24, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one or love the other, or else he will be loyal to one or he will despise the other. No one can serve God and mammon. And when you dig around in the Greek, it says no one can serve God or the system of money. The system of money, the money system that's in this world. And you may be new to church, you may be new to you reading your Bible, this may be like, what? But there is a money system in this world that we live in. And he said, Jesus says, you can't serve both. You can't serve God and the system in the world. And you know what the system of the world says? I want more, I want more, I want more, okay? And it starts hoarding. So that's what he's saying, all right? So they're going to put this quote up here. You can jot it down, or you can just read it because it's pretty cute. Ready? Jesus is trying to do this. He says, when we give, we break the system of the world. When we give, we break the system of the world. When we give, all right? And the money system of this world says, I got to get more. I got to keep it. I got to hoard it, all right? So, but when you give, you break the money system that's in this world, all right? So, you know, I don't know what I was watching, but they were listing, you know, millionaires in, and I'm not even going to name them, but they were listing all these million billionaires who give lots of money to really good things. Some of them I'm like, really? You know, I think there's better things to give your money, but they're very generous with their money. But here's the thing, giving money won't get you to heaven. It won't get them to heaven. It won't get you to heaven, all righty? So giving should be a response. Oh, I have received Jesus and he lives inside of me. I have received Jesus and my sins are forgiven and I'm a child of God. And now my response is, I want to give to Jesus who lives inside of me. And I want to help people that might need some help, okay? And when you do that, you break this system of the world, this thing that tries to control us. So everybody say, break the money system. So now turn over to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12, verse 15. Listen to what Jesus says. Listen to what Jesus says. Luke 12, 15. He told them, he's with a whole bunch of people, he says, watch out. Be on guard against all greed because one's life is not in the abundance of his possessions. Guys, we got to get this in our heart. It's not how much we have, how much we own. That's what life is not about. Life's not about that. And he says we need to guard our hearts against greed. Guard our hearts against greed. Okay, so I'm sitting there thinking, do I really know what that word means, greed? You know, every once in a while I better check it out. So, but really interesting, the King James doesn't say the word greed. It says covetousness. Can't say that really fast. Covet, to covet. So I'm digging in my Bible and I'm looking it up. And you know what the definition of covet is? Put your seatbelts on. Listen to this. Covet means to eager desire to gain. An eager to desire to gain, even if it's by fraud. Ooh! That's horrible. I know you don't want to do that. An eager desire to gain, even if it's by fraud. I don't want to do that. And by the way, that's why we have someone check our books at YCF here at the end of every year. Well, we tried to get October, but things kind of got smushed around, so we're finally wrapping up. But we come in and have our books checked. And, you know, and listen, if you're trying to hide stuff, you don't ask someone to come in and check your books, do you? No. Okay, and the reason why we do that is we want to honor the Lord. We want to be good stewards of our resources. We don't want to be fraudulent. Heck no, all right? So this is what I want you to see. Everybody, money is a tool. Just suck on that lifesaver. Money is a tool. Okay, money is a tool, and God gave us money to be a tool. It's to be our servant, not control us. It's to be a servant, not master us, okay? And it's not to control us, all right? And I said this a couple of weeks ago. Money is a horrible, horrible master. And if you've ever been controlled by money, you know what I'm talking about, all right? If you're being controlled by money, you know what I'm talking about, okay? But this is what God wants us to do. So he wants us to live open-handed. Not like this. He wants us to live open-handed, all right? That's how God wants us to live, all right? So if you're a follower of Jesus, praise the Lord, thank you, okay? But God is desiring for all of us to be generous givers, to have generosity in our heart. And the way you will do that is to be living open-handed. So what do I mean by living open-handed? You know, and I started thinking about things that I've done in life, but I started thinking of a whole bunch of you. And I'm no names, okay? Don't raise your hand if I'm telling your story, but I know so many of you where God spoke to you to give cars away. I know God has spoken to you to give homes away. I know God has spoken to some of you to give bicycles away, all right, and furniture away. And God spoke to you and you lived open-handed. I know some of you that God spoke to you to pay off somebody's car payment. Some of you were like, I'm over here. Don't forget. I got one of those, okay? All right? You know, God was speaking to your heart and you were open-handed and did that. I know somebody that God spoke to them. This was a single mom, and her kid needed braces. God spoke to them to pay off this kid's braces, all right? God spoke and you were obedient. And you know, the one with the car payment, they told me later, they said, you know, we heard this and we're like, oh, Jesus, I hope it's not one of those big payments. Oh, Lord, please. And it was. It was a big payment. And they're like, Lord, did you know, we really don't have that. And the Lord says, so? Why? So they said they knew they heard from God to pay off this person's car payment, all right? And they were believing God, and God was faithful, and they paid it off earlier than expected, all right? So isn't that cool? All right, but that's, what is that? Living open-handed, living open-handed. But listen, if you live open-handed, you're not going to do things like the normal. And this is a good, this is a true story. I'm going to change the names as I do. But a friend of mine, he had kind of a beat-up old motorcycle, and someone gave him a really cool Harley, an Indian, what's it called? Indian something? I don't know. I don't know my Harleys. But it was a really good one. It was like, y'all want that one. And he loved it. He rode this motorcycle for 2 years. He was with a bunch of guys, Christian motorcycle guys, and they did a whole bunch of things. He just loved riding this motorcycle. And then the Lord said, I want you to give it to so-and-so. And you know what he said? God, if you gave me this and you're speaking to me, my hands are open and I will be obedient and a blessing. He says, because that thing didn't control him. That motorcycle was a blessing, and he was like, okay, I'll bless somebody else. All right? So, praise God. Open-handed. Now, back to our rich young ruler. You know, when Jesus said, this is a guy that had lots of possessions, and Jesus said, I want you to sell everything and give it away. Do you know he could have done that? He could have done that. First off, he was a Jew, and he lived under the old covenant. And the Bible's old covenant promises that if you live open-handed and you would do that, that God would bless. And there's stories and stuff like that. He could have done that. But, you know, I get it. I get it. Because sometimes fear kicks in. Anybody have fear kick in? I can't do that. Oh, my gosh, what am I going to do? So it's you got to calm down and go, God, you're my blesser, and I'm going to live open-handed, okay? So if you're taking notes, here's one more cute little quote from Pastor D. Ready? Generosity is the only answer to greed and the worship of money. Regardless of your income level, generosity is the only answer. Generosity breaks that money system, the spirit of mammon and all that stuff, okay? And I have people say, yeah, Pastor D, but what happens if I don't have money? Do you know you cannot have money and you can still have greed? We were just talking about this yesterday with a friend, and homeless people living on the streets have nothing, and some of those have the worst problem with greed. They hoard things. You'll see them, okay? They hoard. And wealthy people with a lot more zeros than I have on my paycheck, right? I don't have that many. They can have that attitude of greed in their heart, all right? So we want to live open-handed. It's an attitude of the heart, okay? And this is what you have to be like. You know what? I'm a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. God has given me everything. It's not about me, it's about him. And God, if you speak to me, I'm going to live open-handed. I will be a blessing to those that need to be blessed. It's not about me, it's about you and your kingdom. Amen. Okay, turn in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 9. 2 Corinthians chapters 7, 8, and 9, this is the Apostle Paul, and he's writing to the church of Corinth. He's not there. He's writing a letter to this church in Corinth, and he's talking to them about receiving an offering. Aren't you glad we already took tithes and offerings, and I'm not going to ask for money? All right, if this is shaking your boots, you need to get over it, okay? I'm not going to do that. But I'm going to teach about money and giving because it's in the Bible and you need to hear it. You might find out you might not be doing things quite right. Amen. Jesse Duplantis, by the way, side thought, has a cool DVD series called Why Isn't My Giving Working? Y'all, and it's on YouTube. Why Isn't My Giving Working? You should go listen to that. It's really good. Okay, so here we are. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, 8, and 9, the Apostle Paul's teaching, writing a letter to the church about receiving an offering. They're receiving an offering to give to the believers in Jerusalem because they had great poverty going on. So here's the Corinth church, and here's the church in Jerusalem, and Paul writes to them and says, hey, you guys, let's get together and give an offering over here, all right? And he starts going like this. Hey, why aren't you doing this, y'all? Why aren't you giving this offering that we talked about that you said you were going to do? Aren't you glad I don't do that? Hey, why aren't you giving? I don't do that, right? I don't do that. Everybody say, no, Pastor D, I don't do that, okay? I don't do that, all right? So Paul, in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verses 8 and 9, what he says to them is, hey, y'all, you do your part. You give, and God will do his part. That's all. So he says, you do your part, and God will do his part. So let's listen to this. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 8 and 9. God is able to make all grace, every favor, every earthly blessing. How many like the favor of the Lord in your life? How many like earthly blessings in your life? If you don't know what that is, come and see me later. It's good, all right? So God is able to make favor and earthly blessings come to you in abundance. Everybody like that word, abundance? That's not smidgens. I like abundance, right? Some people have an abundance of shoes, okay? Anyway, so God has made abundance, right? So that you always, under all circumstances, this is why you have abundance. So I can't let me look over here. So you may always and under all circumstance and whatever the need be sufficient, possessing enough to require no aid or support and furnished in abundance for every good work and charitable donations. He's talking about God is able to give you an abundance so you can be a giver. God is able to give you an abundance so you can be a giver, so you can be generous, all right? I love that. Okay, verse 9 gets better too. As it is written, and he quotes a scripture, Psalm 112, verse 10. Better read it. 9. He quotes this and he says, he, the benevolent person, the generous person, the generosity person, okay, scatters abroad. That means he sows extravagantly. Everybody goes, extravagantly, right? He sows extravagantly. Ready? He gives to the poor his deeds of justice or his generous deeds, and goodness and kindness and benevolence will go on and endure forever. They're never going to be forgotten, okay? So, let me say this before we go too much farther, okay? So, I say this often, and sometimes people go, I don't get it. So, I'm just going to say it one more time here. When you give your tithe, you are not sowing. When you give your tithe, you're not sowing. You're actually returning to God what he had already blessed you with. So we all say, oh, God has blessed me with everything. There's a lot of scriptures that back it up. God has blessed you with everything, and you are returning a portion, the tithe, to him. So when you give your tithe, you are not sowing. So what's sowing? I'm glad you asked, okay? And they just said that. He just wrote it. Sowing, scattering seed, sowing is give to the poor, all right? Giving to the poor is sowing. And God will give you an abundance so you can do that, right? Sowing. So we have lots of areas at YCF and that we sow to the poor, all right? And sowing can also be, maybe you got a lot of stuff. Don't elbow your spouse and tell them they got a lot of stuff, okay? But maybe you have a lot of stuff and you give it to somebody that needs it. You are now sowing, all right? And it could be stuff, it could be money, it could be, I'm not naming them so you don't get elbowed, okay? By your spouse who tells you you need to clear it out, all right? So let's read verse 10, praise God. Verse 10, and God who provides seed to the sower. Who does God give seed to? The sower. God gives seed to the sower. So if you don't sow, just maybe I'm just saying you might not have any seed, get any seed. Just think on that, all right? Seed to the sower. God gives seed to someone who's sowing, okay? You got to be a sower, all righty? And, you know, okay, this smile at me, okay? Or I look at the fans, okay? Sometimes what we do, not us, somebody else, right? Sometimes what we do, God gives seed to the sower, and instead of sowing, we eat our seed that we should be sowing. Just think on that one tonight, okay? Moving right along. Okay, praise the Lord. And God provides seed for the sower and bread to eat. He'll give you bread to eat, but he gives you seed to sow. Will also provide and multiply your resources for sowing and increase the fruits of your righteousness, which manifests itself in an act of goodness, kindness, and good. By the way, he multiplies. So would you rather have him add 1 + 1 = 2 or multiply? Okay, God is a multiplier. Everybody, he's a multiplier. He loves to do that, okay? So here's my question. Ready? Is your mentality stingy? I can't. I got to hold on. You never know. I got to hoard. Or is your mentality, my God is an abundant God? My God is an abundant God. My God is an abundant God. Matter of fact, the Bible says he owns the cattle on a thousand hill. Matter of fact, he says his streets are made with gold and he's got doors of pearl. God is an abundant God. All right, so you could be stingy, or how about, my God, I'm going to trust him. I'm going to believe. I believe him. He's an abundant God, okay? And he is promising to take care of you. Hallelujah. I love my God. All right. So wrapping up, I'm going to go over about 4 points and then we're going to do some praying here. Okay. So we all want to be a generous giver. We want to have generosity just flowing out of us. Okay. So if I want to be a generous giver, if I want to have generosity flowing out of me, we might need to know a few things. Okay. Number one, you need to know, if you're taking notes about a generous giver, number one, God is the original giver. God is the original giver. God is the original giver. Okay, and you all know John 3:16, but I'm going to read this out of the Amplified, okay? For God so greatly loved and dearly prized the world, okay? So who is he talking about? The people that don't know Jesus, like you and I before we didn't know Jesus, okay? So God loved and dearly prized the world that he gave, he's the original giver, he gave his one and only begotten son. Whoever believes in him, trusts in him, shall not perish but have eternal life. Okay, so most of you know that scripture, all righty? So when are we most like God? Yay! That's right. Okay? When we're giving, okay? Now, it's not just money. I don't want you to walk away, oh, that's all they talked about. No, no, no. You get twisted like that. It's like when someone serves somebody. Have you ever served and helped out your neighbor? Your single mom and you dropped off just anonymously. You ring the doorbell and run and you drop off a bunch of groceries, okay? You're just serving. Out of your life, you serve. Those of you that serve at Harvest a Blessing, we got a couple of people here at YCF that serve over there, okay? Then you are most like God when you serve, okay? When you come to YCF and you serve in many of our teams, you're most like God because you're giving of your life. When you give of your life, it's not just money. I didn't ask money there, okay? You serve others. You give of your life. You serve, all right? And so giving your life is man, that's good. I tell you what, when I would do preschool, I would have a blast. First off, they got the best snacks downstairs, okay? Thank you, Miss Jerl, for a whole bunch of them, okay? And then they just crack me up, especially those little kids. They just say the cutest things, okay? And I always say, I promise I won't believe everything they tell me about you. If you promise, tell me, don't believe everything, tell them about me, okay? So, but I love them. Even though I go take a nap, but I'd go home and just go, God, it was fun serving you, giving my life. It's fun. So if you ain't having any fun, please see me. I'll give you a team you can join. Praise the Lord. All right. So money is just one part of it, okay? You know, giving and serving and giving of your life is this generous thing when you have a friend who calls you up and they're just going through a hard time and they want some just, you know, input and you just pour into them. You know what? That's giving your life. That's serving. That's generosity. That's living most like Jesus. Amen. Praise God. Okay, so number one, if you're going to be a generous giver, you have to know that God's the original giver. Number two, if you're taking notes because y'all are good taker noters here, or at least your wife has taken notes and you can look on her shoulder here. And I got a couple of you that do it in your phone, and I know you're not checking your emails. Ready? Number two, we are motivated by love. Everybody say we're motivated by love. Generosity is motivated by love. And I'm not talking about romantic love. I'm talking about a love that has a compassion that just wells up in your heart and you just want to bless somebody. Okay? So generosity, a generous person, is always motivated by love. All right? Now, how many of you seen those TV commercials where they find these abused or abandoned dogs and they the commercial comes on and they show all these pictures and they want you to give money to rescue these dogs. And I'm looking at those pictures of those animals and I'm like, oh my gosh, how much money do you want? Right? And it's good. It's a good thing, okay? But, you know, if they're trying to move you to give, don't raise your hand if you have. It's still a good thing, okay? So the interesting thing is churches do that too sometimes. You know, they try to find things to move you to give, all righty? But God doesn't want you to be moved to give, okay? He wants you to give, especially your tithe, because you obey him and honor him. Period. End of sentence. Not, I'm moved, and Pastor D's going to tell you all these things to make you move. No, we give our tithe because we obey God and we honor him, all right? So, and it's, everything else is, you know, being led by him. God speaks to you, all right? So, here's a question I get asked a lot. But Pastor D, I live on a fixed income, okay? So a fixed income, that means you get a check for a set amount, and that's it, all right? So what do I do? Pastor D, I live on a fixed income, okay? Ready? First, you tithe off of your income first, okay? And anything above and beyond that, pray. Ask God. This is after my tithe. God, do you want me to pray, hear from God, be led by him, and then do it, all right? So Jack and I would do this thing, something. So our tithe, we knew what the tithe was. That was it. So something would be presented, and I go, you pray, and I'll pray, and then tell me what number you get, okay? So it used to be really easy because he handled the books, the checkbook. But then he got so busy, I handled the checkbook. And I really had to get quiet because I knew the numbers, and he didn't. So then we had this thing, the higher number gets it. So that's how we did it. We would pray, and then I said, what'd you hear? He said, I heard that. Oh, okay. So praise the Lord. Well, I don't know why I said that, but because you got to pray. Amen. Pray, all righty? By the way, the tithe you don't have to go pray about. It is 10%. Doesn't change. That's the tithe. But anything else above that, y'all pray about it. Ask God. And it doesn't mean you have to. Just ask God. God, do you want me to give to this, give to that, do that? Okay? Praise the Lord. All right. So let me show you a scripture about motivated by love. It's found in 1 John chapter 3. A scripture about motivated by love to give. I'm a generous person and I am only motivated by love. Here we go. 1 John chapter 3, verse 17 and 18. If any of you has this world's goods, okay, then he says what it is, resources for sustaining life, and sees a brother or a fellow believer in need, yet closes his heart of compassion against him, how can the love of God live and remain in him? Verse 18, little children, let us not love merely in theory or in speech, but in deed and in truth, practice and in sincerity. Okay, so what he's saying is really simple. Just be willing to give. Be a giver, okay? Now, are there people that will take advantage of you? Oh, baby, I could tell you some stories. All right? But this is what I know. I have given, and the church has given, and we've been just, anyway. This is what I had to go, and this is why I go, Father, I want it to be a blessing. I want it to be a blessing and help somebody with my finances and not hoard. So, Father, I did my part, and I just thank you that I had an opportunity to be generous. Amen. All right? Or otherwise, you're going to like, are you scamming me? I want a background check on you. Just go pray, okay? Just go pray about it, all right? Praise the Lord, all right? So as a follower of Jesus Christ, a generous giver, generosity in our heart, we need to know that God is first that gave. And number two, we're motivated by love. And here's number three, we need to give out of our best. We need to give out of our best. What do you mean? Okay, well, 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Verse 7, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 7. Now, remember, this is the Apostle Paul, and he's writing to the church in Corinth, and he's talking to them about receiving, not tithes, a special offering for the poor in Jerusalem. Okay, and this is what he says. But just as you, y'all, in Corinth, have excelled in everything and led the way in your faith, in your speech, in your knowledge, in genuine concern, and your love for us, see that you excel in this gracious work of giving also. All right, so all he's saying is, y'all, when it's time for an offering, just do your best. And he points out, he said, the church of Corinth, they had the best speakers. They were moved with the gifts of the Holy Spirit. They had faith and they were big in their love. And he says, you all did that so excellently. Now, just excel in the same way when you give. That was it. No pressure, all right? Now, sometimes we can think, oh, I know they're a big giver because, you know, I know they own this business and I just have this. Don't compare yourself with somebody, all right? Don't do that. You just wear yourself out, okay? Listen, you're a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's my personal Savior, a Lord and Savior, and this is not a competition. I'm just going to be led by the Holy Spirit. And you know, sometimes God said, don't give. What? He said, that's okay. I got something else coming down the line, all right? So it's not a competition. Give your best, all right? Matthew chapter 6. Verse 3, it says, you might know this, don't let your left hand know what your right hand gives. Don't let your left hand know what your right hand gives. Okay? And some people have said, well, see, Pastor D, you shouldn't be taking up an offering in church because people will see people give them money. That's not what it was talking about. That's stupid. Okay? So you need to know your Bible history. Okay? Bible history says when Jesus wrote this, the leaders of the church would hire Angie to blow her trumpet when they walked down the aisle to give, just so everybody would take notice. Blow your trumpet. That I'm given. All right? And he was scolding those lovely people. All right? So listen, no one cares how much you give. It's between you and God. Right? Just it's you and God. Praise the Lord. All right? Give out of the right heart. Praise the Lord. So a generous giver needs to know that God is the giver first. Number two, we're motivated by love. And number three, we give out of our best. And last one, here we go. A generous giver. I rewrote this 7 times trying to figure out how to say this. So I just like this. Here we go. A generous giver lays tracks for others to find eternal life. This is the most important thing. A generous person, your giving is for someone to find eternal life. Praise God. So, 2 Peter, last scripture, 2 Peter chapter 3. This is the apostle Peter this time reminding and cautioning believers to have the right heart, okay? About what's most important. And he goes like this. Nevertheless, do not let this one fact escape you, beloved, that with the Lord, one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord does not delay and is not tardy or slow or what he promises according to some people's concept of slowness. But he is long-suffering, extraordinarily patient. How many of you are patient with some people, like really patient? Some of you are like, I've been patient with my spouse for 10 years, okay? So, praise the Lord. Okay, keep reading. Patient towards you, not desiring, and this is it, not desiring that any should perish, but all should turn to repentance. That is the most important thing. God is patient. Like, why didn't he come back? And why is this happening? God is chill mode. He's patient because he doesn't want anybody to perish, not to, not to receive eternal life. Amen? Okay, keep reading. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and then the heavens will vanish, pass away, and thunderous crash, and then the material elements of the universe will be dissolved with fire, and the earth and all the works that are upon it will be burnt up. Okay, you know, I read that, and I'm like, that is the most bizarre thing. Did you ever read that? Just read that? And I'm like, and you're like, is that really real? Listen, I believe the word of God is the word of God. It's true. So I'm just like, God, this is true. I'm just going to go with it. All right? Because otherwise, you're like, what? Okay, keep reading. Meanwhile, this is what he says. While we're waiting, before this world is just going to get burnt up and we have a new heaven. It's new. New is good. He says, while you're waiting, listen, be consecrated and holy behavior and devout and godly qualities, okay? He's talking to Christians about their behavior and their attitude. And if I had to look at churches, not our church, right, and how they dealt with the last year and a half, ugly, 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 fighting, no love, all right? So how about godly behavior and love, amen? Okay, no more scolding, that's good. Just be nice to everybody. All righty. Praise the Lord. Okay, wrapping up. We don't give eternal life. Who gives eternal life? God, okay? But we can give our resources that help people receive eternal life. So I just want to tell you some things that we do at YCF, and then we're going to close in prayer. We give... Oh, gosh. So we give y'all to break the system of money's control in our life. And if you give at YCF, I want to tell you where your money goes, okay? We give to some ministries that are more practical, okay? And then we give to ministries that are more, that do the spiritual side, share Jesus, and they also do the practical. So one of them is, oh gosh, I better write my notes down. Here we go. Oh, yeah, Harvest of Blessing. They do both. So when you give to YCF, we give just a small portion to help this ministry. And they're out just telling the gospel and helping feed the practical and the spiritual, okay? We actually give to Life Path. All right, and they have the men's shelter and the women's shelter, okay? We give a couple of times a year to that, all right? So when you give, that's what you give to. Those are good things. When you give, you pour into children's ministry. So I just had to buy a curriculum for our preschool, and it costs some money. But you are giving to that ministry to help kids grow in God. And youth ministry, I love when I see him standing up here worship. Thank you, Pastor Sherry. Thank you, Nevin. He's up there visiting. Thank you, all your leaders, okay, for doing what you do. It's just beautiful, okay? And then y'all give, we give to missions. And our I can't say favorite, can I? Is Tammy Salmon. Tammy's in Africa. What country is that again? Uganda. Was the other one was Nigeria. Tammy's in Uganda. So when you give to YCF, this is where your money goes. And she's out there sharing Jesus, working on food programs and teaching kids, just a whole gamut of stuff. And by the way, I've got a little memo. If you'd still like to give to Tammy, how do we do this? There's a flyer in the back. There's a flyer in the back, okay? And she's just praying about how long she stays and... anyway, if you'd like to give specifically you, aside from, that's okay. Yeah, go over there. Okay, so we do that. We also give to Christopher Alam. He is a missionary, an apostle, really. He goes and speaks in Africa, Asia, South America, just all over the world, and leads hundreds and thousands to the Lord. That's what we give, but we give because you give so we can have that happen. Amen. So, praise God. Anybody else want to know where the money goes? Let me know. I'll tell you about it. Okay. So, how do you finish? Okay, so we've been doing a series on money. And I really believe that it is something we need to teach on, okay? So I was obedient. I was just, God, he says, you need to teach on this, all right? So, Father, I've been obedient to teach your word. And your word sets captives free. It brings light where there's been some just dumb thoughts, dumb teaching. And I thank you, Father, your light of your word transforms us, encourages us, brings us to the high places that you have for us. And I thank you, Father, for the people at YCF, Father. I thank you they are generous people. They hear your voice. They're always motivated by love. Lord, they give their best in serving, Father, and giving their life, not just their finances. And I thank you, Father, you're a God that just continues to pour out abundance so we can be these vessels to help those that need some help. I thank you, Father, that your word is not going to return void. I thank you, Father, for just the people, and they're blessed in Jesus' name. Amen. Okie dokie. So last week I let you out late. This week, getting out of here before 12. So you get to hang out and have some really good, strong coffee. Praise the Lord. If you would like prayer for anything, we have elders up here. Liz is going to be up here. We'd love to pray with you, okay? If you've got questions, we'll give you a Bible scripture, okay?